Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thought there was no way. I just kept following you for a brighter day. Let's look into, I just want to talk to you tonight. I may be preaching to the wrong crowd, so you never know where the word of the Lord travels, though. Ephesians 4, 19 and 20 and Colossians 2, 12. Ephesians 4, 19 and verse 20 and Colossians 2 and verse 12. Who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness or lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. This is filthy. This is filthiness. But ye have not so learned Christ. That's not what you've been taught. Colossians 2 and 12 says, buried with him in baptism. And again, there's so many scriptures. I need to teach some doctrinal teaching to you from time to time. We don't baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We baptize in the name of Jesus because he's the one that died for my sins. And it says, baptized with him. He is the one that died. So we baptize in his name like the apostles did, wherein also ye are risen with him. See, he's the one that got up out of the grave through the faith of the operation of God. How many of you believe in what's doing? Yeah, that's the operation of God, is I trust what God's doing. Faith in what God's doing. Who hath raised him from the dead. If he could raise him from the dead, surely I can have faith in what he's doing now. Hallelujah. I want to preach from this title, I Still Feel It. I still feel it. Some people are past feeling, but I'm glad I still feel it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't live just by faith. We may walk by it, but Lord, there's a feeling that goes with the walk. Hallelujah. For you said to feel after you, if happily you might be found of us. Lord, I just go by a feeling sometimes. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you're a God that can be felt and you feel the infirmities of your people. And Lord, that contact that we have with each other lets me know I'm still alive. I'm still living for you and walking with you. And Lord, hold my hand through every trouble that we go through. And I'll give you the praise as you bring me through in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Look at your neighbor before you see it and say, I still feel it. I still feel it. God bless you. Thank God. Because if you don't feel it, you know where you are. Hallelujah. The first surgery that was ever done. Now, I looked up some history. So stay with me. The first surgery that was ever done was done by a physician, and it was done with general anesthesia. And the physician put his patient to sleep so that he didn't feel anything until he woke up. How many of you know who the first patient was? Adam was that first patient, and God was that first physician. And God used general anesthesia to work on his first customer. Wow. God looked at Adam and he saw that he was alone. He had feelings. He had named all the animals and the tigers and the lions and the bears and the birds. And he said, I don't have anybody like me to name. And he was lonely. And he had feelings. God has feelings. I was talking to the men in men's prayer meeting last night, and I was telling them about how many feelings that God has. When you look at it, it's just like a man. He has wrath and anger and joy and happiness and sorrow and all these things. So he understands us because we're made in his image. So we really took on the feelings of God when he created us. Didn't think about that, did you? So he looked at him and he said, it's not good that man should be alone. And I'm through creating. I mean, when God got through creating, he was through. Because he said, it's finished. So he started operating. That's right. If you can't create, you operate. So he started operating because he had to, he wasn't going to create another woman. He operated and he used what he operated on, the rib, to then fabricate or enhance, not really create from nothing, but he brought into existence with something. God always gives you something. Once he finished creation, don't look for no poof. It's always near you. It's always around you. Even when Samson got ready to slay the Philistines, he always had a jawbone of the ass. It was the gates of the city. It was always something near you. People look way too far. It's always near you. And so he began to operate. Let's look at Genesis 2 and 21 about our first operation here. And it was an operation for loneliness. He just wanted to make him happy. So he had to put him to sleep. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Some of y'all probably are in a coma when you go to bed tonight. And you could be operated on and not know it till the next morning. Some of you are probably deep sleepers and some are light sleepers. But Adam was conked out. His deep sleep fell upon Adam and he slept. Thank God. And he took one of his ribs. He needed him to be asleep. And he closed up the flesh instead thereof. He sewed him up. So therefore, I know that the first blood shed was Adam. It wasn't even the animals that you might think that covered the... No, Adam was the first man because you can't open the skin up without the blood. You're not going to take a rib out, and a rib's very vascular anyway. So the first blood that was shed was right there of Adam, and out of his side came his bride. Hallelujah. Out of his side was blood and water. Kind of reminds me, right, that out of somebody else's side came their bride. And the rib, which the Lord God hath taken from man, made he a woe man, and brought her unto Adam. He said, thank you, Jesus. He said, wow. She was good looking no matter how ugly she was. When that's the only choice you got, it doesn't matter. People get too picky today for their mates. You just need to go get on an island where there's one woman or one man. They'll start looking good after a while. I promise you. It's okay. I know where I'm at. Hallelujah. And so he's brought to her this woman to cure him of his loneliness. And Adam said, this is bone of my bones. Now that's where she came. Right here. Pain in the side. I mean, this is a bone of my bones and it's flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So we really, when you look at this word, and I've said this before in teaching, that it was really the word woman means womb man. So that he opened up the womb. He created a womb in the side of Adam and birthed a woman out of it and called her womb man because she came out of Adam, just as the bride of Christ came out of the side of Christ. And so we become the bride of Christ, just like he was the bride and we came out of him, right? Okay. Adam didn't feel a thing. And perhaps till he woke up, but he didn't feel a thing while God was operating. Now think about that. Think about, you know, if you ever had any, you've been to the dentist? Yeah. If you ever said, I still feel it. That's probably one of the most common phrases in a dentist office, I still feel it. I'm telling you, some of those Pentecostals don't repeat this, but they're the worst patients there are. Because they want that nitrous oxide. And they want it for free, too. And I would give them that nitrous oxide because it was the only legal high they could have, you know. And I would have them up on about 30% nitrous oxide, and they'd say, Doc, I don't even feel a thing. Turn it up if you don't mind. I'm serious.
And so I'm here to get nitrous because you only want them filled one at a time. I could do four or five at one time, but you only want them one at a time, so you come back and get that high. Hallelujah. Adam didn't feel a thing as God operated on him in his deep sleep. And sometimes when you get what you want without any pain attached to it, then you can't appreciate what you got. You'll get quiet on that because we don't like pain. And the Lord said, let me try this. Let me give Adam what he wants without pain. And he gave him what he wanted without pain. And he really, the thing he wanted caused him to fall. And so many things in life, you can't get a college education without pain. You can't get married without pain. You can't have kids without pain. Anything that you're going to appreciate, there's got to be some blood and sweat and labor that goes with it. Can you say amen? If it's just always handed to you, you will never appreciate what it costs to get it. And there are times in my life I wanted things in my life, and I wanted just to wake up and it all be over. And it was like, I remember many times going to Toledo Bend with my kids, and they'd go to sleep before we'd get out of Lake Charles. It's a two-hour drive. We'd get there, and David said, we're already here. It's like, to him, it was nothing because he was going to sleep and woke up. But that's the way I wish sometimes it would be. When I got troubles, I just go to sleep, and I wake up, and it's perfect again. Yeah, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work that way. Wake me up when it's over, and it doesn't work that way. God woke him up, and when it was over, he gave him what he was looking for and what he'd been longing for. But what he was longing for, no pain, no gain sometimes. And so the thing he got for free cost him his free salvation. And it would be nice if God would put us sometimes in a spiritual coma and wake us up when we're perfected. Because coming to God is not an easy thing. You don't just poof and I'm a Christian, I'm a mature Christian. It takes years, you hear me? Years of going through a lot of situations to become perfected to where you can just stand and say, I trust God in this situation. I trust God in this storm. Hell or high water can come. I'm not moving. I know in whom I have my trust and I have my belief in him. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I believe that. Thou preparest the table in front of me in the presence of my enemies. I'm not going to worry about this. I will prevail. It takes a while to be able to say that. Hallelujah. Adam never knew how difficult obeying God was. Now listen close. He never knew how difficult obeying God was until he had something other to resist than just the devil. He was now going to resist. He needed to resist something he wanted. You never know how strong or weak you are till you have to resist something you really want. And I never knew, and you never knew, how difficult the flesh was to control until I met God. And Paul said it this way. Let's read some of this in Romans. Romans 7:14, he said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Adam sold me out. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, well, that I do. But what I hate, what? That I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Because I really don't want to do this. But there's something still in me that says I want to do that. For I know that in me, that is, he says, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. There's a spiritual thing that says, I want to prevail. I want to win. But how to perform that which is good, I'm having trouble finding it. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, Lord, did it again. Now I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it. This is what I've got to realize. It's really not me. It's what's in me, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. So you, from reading these scriptures, you realize you don't know how bad you want something until you got God. Yeah. You didn't know how hard it was to quit something until you found God. I got no problem. But when you found God, he said, okay, we need to stop that. And you go, how? How? I don't know how. And so this conflict arises that you never had in the world when you come to God. Because you didn't measure it in the world. You only measured it when you come to God. And the Lord said, stop. And you go, how do you do that? I've been doing it for 30 years. But when he's in the world, you didn't care if you did it for 30 years. So you don't know this conflict until you meet God, because you were used to having no reason to measure it. The intensity, the desire of this fleshly thing that you have. But now you want to be obedient, but you're having trouble finding how to do it. Stay tuned. Looking at Romans 7 and 7, reading, I went kind of a little backwards here. He said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? No, he said, God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. It's like, what is lust? What is sin? What is over the limit if there is no limit? Right? But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, by the law, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, which means excessive desire. It was the old I'll show you thing. I'll get me a fuzz buster and I'll do 80 if I want to. I'll find a way to do it anyway. I'll hide them in an armadillo hole. And I did that one time. That's the last time I did that. They almost caught me. That was a long time ago, Sister Ray. Now, don't hold that against me now. It was a long time ago. But I was going to find a way to do it anyway. See, when they said the limit was one, I said, that's ridiculous. There's a plenty of mallards around here. Why do they have to do it just one? I'll show them. It just brings about, if there wouldn't have been a limit, I probably wouldn't have cared. But now that there was a limit, I want to do it. You ain't stopping me. You see? And that's what coming to Christ does. You find that there are some limits. There are some boundaries. There's some things you shouldn't do. Paul said, I can do all things, but some things not really expedient to do. So you find that there are some boundaries, and you go,